I think I'm a reasonably intelligent guy. All I'm saying is that at some point, I think it would be fantastic for us to get a printer and to set the printer's settings right, so that when we do print something off, I'm not printing pop-ups right smack dab in the middle of the copy. You understand?
Yeah, but you can't do it.
Well, I don't care. Anyway, welcome back, folks, to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we're very happy to be with you here in our final hour. And we're here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, P-H-A-N-S. And we're over there every day, just talking to folks. We print, putting on our Facebook version of an act. We have a trivia question we do. We've got Flash. What is it called?
Well, there's Flashback Friday.
Yeah, Flashback Friday, Throwback Thursday, Throw Up something else, Your Mama Wednesday. Also, Tuesday is, what was today?
Today, Trivia Tuesday.
Trivia Tuesday.
But it's a trivia question, yes.
We asked a trivia question today. We asked, Steve Bozell's daughter goes to a school in Corona, California that is a liberal, it's a progressive, high-end school. And the headmistress there is Erica Dorton. She calls the Bozell home at night. What does she do?
She calls the Bozell home at night.
Yes. What does she do when she calls?
She talks.
Gotcha.
No. As a matter of fact, no, she doesn't.
She doesn't. She calls up and she doesn't talk.
No.
What'd she do?
That's what I'm asking you. It's the trivia question. All right, tell you what, we'll lay it out there.
Yeah, we got a call right now, in fact. Hello? Oh, yeah, hi. Yeah, hey, what's up? Yeah. Yeah, I know. We're on a radio, Ms. Dooley. You want to go on a radio?
Is that Bobby Dooley?
Yeah, hold on.
Will you give me that phone? You're driving me nuts with that laugh, okay?
Ms. Dooley.
Really? Hi, Bobby.
Oh, hi, Phil. I had an answer for your trivia question. Does she call up, it's Erica Dorton, right?
Yes, Erica Dorton, the headmistress.
She calls the Dooley home, not the Dooley home, she calls the who?
The Bozell home.
The Bozell home, Steve.
Oh, that's Steve Bozell.
Yeah, because I have a Steve. Well, I think the answer to that is she calls and she says, hi.
No, you're wrong.
I don't think I was asking you. I was asking the host.
Yeah, well, you're still wrong.
You're wrong.
What did you say, Phil?
You're wrong.
Okay, Phil, thank you very much for telling me that, Phil.
I told you you were wrong already.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. So what's the answer, Phil?
The answer is that you're wrong.
Thank you, Phil, very much.
Boy, the two of you, you guys started off doing really well.
Well, she's getting the attitude now because she has the podcast, which, by the way, is this week is Jimmy Pardo. He's wonderful.
Well, Rick Overton is coming up this week. Isn't it Rick Overton this week?
I think it's part two of Jimmy Pardo.
Part two of Jimmy Pardo? Okay. And then Rick Overton. And they're reaching out for some other guests, some real heavy hitter guests there. So what's the thing?
She's getting an attitude, Phil.
All right, she's getting it. I don't really care, and I don't care to talk about it. All I want to know is what's the answer to the question. I'm going to give the answer.
Wait, let me go get some more guests.
I'm going to give the answer. I don't care. The answer is she breathes into the phone heavily.
Oh, that freak. Oh, yeah.
Right. And so we had a winner, Chris Sykes, and that's our Facebook page. So go on over there to Facebook and check us out. We're also on Twitter, twitter.com/RealPhilHendry, twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. And when you're over there, you can tweet at us, follow us, fondle us, whatever they do at Twitter. You can join us over there. We're all over social media, baby. We cover the waterfront. We got like 6 or 7 Twitter accounts. We've got, the Facebook accounts.
What about LinkedIn?
No, we're not on LinkedIn.
Well, isn't that a social?
No, LinkedIn isn't social. LinkedIn is some professionals. I'm not sure. LinkedIn is weird, you know.
Now, a lot of people go on there, man, like looking for a job and stuff.
Yeah, but I don't think it's supposedly professional networking. I'm sure that there are people that are very happy with LinkedIn. It doesn't look like anything to me. I'm not interested in it. And that's fine. You know, it takes a more than one person to make a horse race. So,
well, what does that mean?
In other words, it takes more than everybody's got an opinion.
What about like put me?
What's put me?
You made it up, man.
Give me a real one, will you, bud?
I'm sorry. What about swig it? Or not swig it. How about Google? How about Google Plus One or whatever it's called? Google it.
What is that new Google one? It's called. I don't use that either. It sucks. All of them suck.
What about Reddit?
Yes, I'm hearing a lot about Reddit.
I go over to Reddit, and I got an account on Reddit. In fact, we've done a couple of interviews on Reddit, or what they call Ask Me Anythings. And we've had fun doing those. Those have been a hoot and a half to do. And I think we should do another one. We're going to do another Reddit probably when we launch our show again sometime this summer. We definitely will do another Reddit. We definitely will do another Reddit when we do the one-man show. We definitely will do another Reddit when, you know, stuff like that.
Will you do another Reddit if you win, like, an Academy Award?
Yes, we'll do a Reddit right before we get an Academy Award. All right, ESPN layoffs, trying to manage costs. That's what they're doing over at ESPN. And how do you manage costs? You fire people. ESPN is cutting its workforce, the latest Disney division to reduce staff. Changes across the board, they've continued. And they claim, by the way, that they have good growth while smartly managing costs. The sports media giant said in a statement Tuesday, while difficult, we are confident that it will make us more competitive, innovative, and productive. Now, the guy that wrote that line, are you getting fired too, sir? I'm just wondering, that's all. Would you have said that? Were you, what if you were the guy, what if you were also getting fired and you also had to write the press release?
As the last thing you did before you went out the door?
Yeah, the last thing. So it'd be what?
I would say, I think that is asking an awful lot. I would say, we are confident, even without my services, because I will be going too. My name is Joe Blow or whatever.
Joe Blow, your name's Margaret Cray.
Is that right, bud? Thank you. I didn't know my... I'm giving an example. Oh, baby.
Bud, butt out, will you?
I would say, yes, we're confident that ESPN will continue to do well, even though I won't be with the company anymore.
Well, how do you spell that?
Well, I'm just emphasizing. Because I am also a part of the layoffs. Excuse me, Phil.
Everybody's bumping the mic tonight.
I'm sorry, it got in my way. I'm a part of the layoffs, and so I will be gone. I will be gone and on the street, lifting the lids of garbage cans and sleeping in open doorways. But guess what? ESPN will be doing just wonderfully. Thank you very much. Go straight to the...
Well, Margaret, you haven't been fired.
No, but I'm putting myself in the...
Yeah, that would be a hard one.
I mean, you think about that. You're writing a press release while I'm lifting the lids off of garbage cans and as sleeping in open doorways. I'm sure ESPN will do well.
Yes, that's how I'd write it. But you don't see anybody there at ESPN writing it that way because the people that do their press relations haven't got a pair.
I'm sorry?
They don't have the you-know-whats.
Balls.
God.
Watch it, will you, bud? Look at, man, I'm tired of you guys jumping in and using words that I wouldn't ordinarily use myself. You get clearance from me before you say a word like that.
What?
Ball. I mean, never mind. The company would not say how many jobs are being eliminated, but they included unfilled positions. ESPN has about 7,000 employees worldwide, with about 4,000 at its headquarters in Bristol, Connecticut, the vast majority working behind the scenes. In April, Disney laid off about 150 people at LucasArts, the video game making division of Lucasfilm, 4 months after acquiring the company. Every time you buy a company, every time a company is bought, the first thing the new company does is start to lay off people because they want that bottom line to look good. They don't want to have a whole lot of expense there. They want to see some profit, and the easiest way to show profit is to start firing people, getting rid of salaries. In April, Disney laid off 150 people at LucasArts, the video game making division of Lucasfilm, 4 months after acquiring the company behind Star Wars for $4.6 billion. Wow. Disney also laid off about the same number at the movie studio in April to cope with the decline in DVD sales as consumer habits shift to digital forms of home entertainment. See?
Oh, so people are doing what then? Are they robbing?
No, they're not robbing. They're getting Netflix. They are having these things digitally delivered, purchasing things digitally. For instance, our website, all of our best ofs, you can purchase the digital versions of them. And we do a pretty good bit. I'd say half and half, if not even more now, people digitally downloading stuff. It's easy. You're not having to wait around for it to be delivered. You know?
Yes, but they don't get the cover art and the CD.
That's for collectors. My feeling is that people, and I'll tell you the guy that does a really good business in the hard copy of digital. When I was talking to Bubba the Love Sponge, he does cool CD cassettes, good CD packaging. It looks awesome, and I think people buy it because you autograph it, stuff like that. But overall, the digital download's a lot easier. All right, we're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show right after this here break. What else we got going on, man? Bin Laden photos, guess what? We ain't going to be seeing them. The court said you can't see them, so you can just kiss that goodbye. A gospel singer is suing McDonald's after swallowing a piece of glass in a chicken sandwich. Nice going, baby. And Darius Rucker got Darius Rucker, you remember the guy from...
Hootie and a Blowfish.
Right. He had somebody tweeted at him a racist tweet, so he fired back on the guy, and we'll find out what transpired. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Man, you know?
Well, I don't think it goes over well with the audience.
Oh, well, I'm sorry if it doesn't go over well with the audience. You know, I happen to be a fan of police departments.
But that place you used to go drinking at.
Yeah, we used to go to a bar in Arcadia, California called The Station. And we used to shoot pool there, and we would drink there, and we'd watch games. It was a cop hangout. I didn't know it right away, but... And it's in my little hometown of Arcadia. It's on Baldwin Avenue, called The Station or The Station House. I can't remember the name, but it is a cop bar. And when you go in, you see all of the patches on the wall of all these police departments. And there's three pool tables and a bar. And we used to go there, watch the games. We used to go there, shoot pool. I tell you right now, I've never, you know, left the station house drunk and got into a car and driven it. But I have left the station drunk and got on a bike.
And what was that like?
That was like that was worse than driving a car. I'm on a bike drunk. Have you ever tried to ride a bike drunk? You can't do it. I couldn't. And I was riding my bike all the way back up to a town called Sierra Madre, which is at least 5-6 miles straight up Santa Anita and then a left. And,
How did cops let you go out of there drunk?
Yeah.
They're off duty. I don't know. They didn't see me doing anything any more dangerous than getting on a bike. I guess they didn't give a damn, you know, or they didn't notice. But I got on my bike and off I went. But what I'm trying to say to you, bud, is that, I got no problem. I'm a fan of cops, and I know some people don't like them, and people that don't like cops generally run afoul of cops, or they're in a situation where they're encountering cops. And I'm trying to think of a time where I would really need to do something that would put me in direct line of a cop. What is that I've got to do, you know?
Well, people like to be free, Phil. They want their freedom.
What freedom are you talking about? What freedom?
Don't get upset because you don't understand the kind of freedom that I'm talking about. The freedom to be who you...
Be all you can be.
To be all, well, not all you can be.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mr. Armed Forces.
No, don't be free, man.
You want to be free to do what? What freedom do you need that is going to have a cop go, better call that guy?
Well, how do you know that the cop isn't a bad cop?
Yeah, well, everybody that I talk to that has problems with cops say the same thing. Yeah, they're bad cops. They're crooked cops. They got to be bad.
Well, how do you know they're not telling the truth?
Because they're all scumbags. That's why. Everybody that's got a problem with a cop, I guarantee you, look deep enough, and the guy's got a record. He's got a one scumbag offense after the next. He's always running afoul of cops, doesn't like cops. Guy's got arrest after arrest after arrest after arrest. You know, all I know is it's against the damn law, for instance, to deal drugs. Now, if you still want to deal drugs, if you still want to deal coke, if you still want to deal weed, if you still want to deal whatever, then I would suggest you do it in a manner whereby you are not going to have cops coming around. I mean, what, do you want to get arrested? You know, I'm looking at these guys, and one of the reasons why they closed down a lot of these dispensaries in L.A. County is these people that ran them were about as stupid as the day is long. I don't know what you're expecting to happen. And, of course, the dispensary gets closed down because the cops came in and closed it, and they got a problem with the cops. Well, if you got people walking out of there with joints hanging out of their mouths, and that is totally against your license, or you can smell weed, people are blasting up in the parking lot, yeah, you're going to get closed down. See, that's, to me, that's dumb. And you can't blame that on anybody other than yourself. Now, if you're going to deal illegally, let's say, well, then don't get caught.
Well, Phil, it's, oh, yeah, right. That's easier said than done.
Wait a minute. Wait, let me just tell you something. Because we used to do, remember we did the Dr. Green Thumb report?
Yeah, gotta do it again.
I don't want to do the Dr. Green Thumb report. It was like I was having to hunt up marijuana stories. Because it was the same story all the time. Guy says, oh, man, cops, I got busted. Yeah, because you had a burned out taillight. Yeah, because you had a burned out headlight. Yeah, because the registration was wrong. I mean, you send a guy out in a truck, he's going cross-country with a bunch of weed that he's going to deliver to Florida, Pennsylvania, wherever, and make sure you send him in a truck that you haven't checked over mechanically, that its registration is expired, that the lights are burned out. Yeah, and then when the guy gets pulled over, you can blame the driver, you can blame the cops for being a bunch, you know, man, those cops, they really patrol that area there, man, they never give you a break. Or you can take a look in the mirror and go, who's the dumbass that set this up? Guys are getting busted because they're making stupid mistakes. I'm not gonna blame the cops for that at all. How do you blame a cop for doing his job, you know?
Well, what about the fact they get them out of and they take them into the police station and they do the interrogation? What about that?
What about it?
They're gonna have to do that.
Oh, right. So you're saying, what are you saying?
I'm saying the guy's doing his job as a cop, okay? Quit, Margaret. You're not going to convince me. Guy gets busted dealing. What? And what happened? Well, let's see. He got all this weed delivered to him, and they have drug-sniffing dogs that go to the post office and sniff this stuff. You're busted. And your friend's an idiot.
Well, how would you mail it?
Okay, this is great. So now you've got me advising people on how to break the law.
Well, you're talking about they can sniff it.
Well, I know what some people have done. And you're not, first of all, you're not mailing a large amount of weed. If you're mailing somebody, I don't know, you know, a quarter ounce or something like that, you stick it in a cold cream jar. I've seen people, or I've heard of people, they take it and they put it...
Well, which is it? Have you seen it or you heard?
Never mind. They put it in a plastic bag and they put it right in the middle of a bottle of lotion, hand lotion, something, right in the middle. So if you got a drug-sniffing dog, he's not going to smell it. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to give people advice on how to... But see, what I'm trying to illustrate here is that most people that get busted are idiots. They're idiots. They shouldn't be dealing in the first place. I don't give a damn how easy you think the money is. You shouldn't be doing it. You're a moron. And not only are you getting yourself busted, you get other people busted. What the hell? Or maybe you like being arrested. Maybe you think it's fun. I don't know. Or maybe if you're going to do that, you insist on doing it, that's fine, then be smarter about it. But the one thing I'm not blaming are cops. Cops do their job.
Yeah, no, no, no.
You're always running into cops, huh?
Yeah, all the time, man. Cops, they never let off. They're always there.
One of the reasons why they're always there is because they can spot a moron a mile away. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, it's easy for you to screw you, man.
You're an idiot. Just face the facts. You're an idiot.
How do you know so much about this?
Because we had the Dr. Green Thumb report. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they have a lot of stuff in there. More of the dumbass getting a ban. You wouldn't believe it. All the dumbass gets arrested.
There were dumbasses in that Dr. Green Thumb report that would have put you, man, you wouldn't be able to. I mean, kids are bringing weed to school. You know, all this, the kid, because their dad and their mom have got it laying around in the house. The kid takes it to school for show and tell. Okay, what's that about? You know, how did your kid get their hands on the weed? Okay, that's number one. Then all the burned out taillight stories, all the burned out headlight stories. Smelling weed. You got so much dope in the back of this truck that if you get pulled over, cops gonna smell it. You don't have to be smoking it. They can smell the stuff, you know? Let's see, what else? Here's a break. So I can think of more when we come back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Look at this, Toby Keith. He was in Moore, Oklahoma, helping out. Gospel singer sues McDonald's after swallowing a piece of glass in a chicken sandwich. She wanted nothing but glass, and they gave her chicken to go along with it. What's that about? World famous Phil Henry Show.
Just talking about people being arrested by the police.
Yeah.
Phil Henry.
You know, I still maintain, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show this Tuesday night. Good to have you with us till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. I'll get into just a couple of more weed pointers. But first, our website, philhenryshow.com. I want to tell you all about it. All you have to do to get a backstage pass is head over to our website and subscribe. You'll see on our homepage a tab that will say Backstage. Actually, if you go anywhere that is subscriber-only, you will encounter a splash page that tells you all about our website, all the things that we have on it, and all the things that you can avail yourself of, and it will direct you to the sign-up. So no matter where you go, if it is subscriber-only content, you'll encounter that splash page. And I'll tell you, for $9.99 a month, you're going to have more audio than you will ever, ever in your life be able to listen to. I'm serious. Close to 5,000 hours, I think, is pretty intense, man. So head on over, and with it, of course, you have the video cast. We have our video cast archive. We have podcasts that are delivered to your device every day. It could be the Daily Show podcast as well as our classic podcast from our archives every day at philhenryshow.com. So join us, won't you? And we also have webisodes, animated webisodes. We're going to have some more animation that we're going to be putting on the website as well. We have the Milwaukee Lions, which is a fictitious football team invention, done with the play-by-play from Jack I. Gagner and Brent Morrison. It's weird, and it's there as well. PhilHenryShow.com. All right, gospel singer sues McDonald's after swallowing a piece of glass in a chicken sandwich.
I don't know how it is, McDonald's and some of these fast food places get this stuff in.
Yeah, one time they had a rat at a KFC. What?
That's true, Robert.
You kidding me? Yeah, they had a rat.
They had a rat. They found a rat in a box of KFC, I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. I don't think I'd eat again. Forget about fast food.
I would definitely be sickened. I'd beyond words. I don't know how KFC stayed open after that, but the stuff you can find in fast food, it's as the man said, you know, be careful out there, folks. A Brooklyn gospel singer is suing fast food giant McDonald's after she swallowed a piece of glass in a chicken sandwich, damaging her vocal cords. Jacqueline Simpson, age 52, claims the stray shard of glass left her with a hoarse, rattly voice and unable to sing soprano.
What's that?
That's the highest voice. That's
you can do. Give it. Show him a man's soprano, Phil.
I beg your pardon?
Show him a man's soprano. How does it sound?
No, you show him a soprano.
All right, fine. But a soprano is like this.
God! That hurt.
Oh, stop it.
That hurt.
Easy, bud.
No, it's ruined me. It's ruined me. I don't think I'm going to have children. Yeah, man, I was pretty high.
Are you going to stop this or can I?
Well, hold on for a minute, Margaret. You weren't exactly the best sounding soprano there.
I beg your pardon. I was on stage with Robert, and you call him Goulet. I know him as Robert Goula. Robert Goula.
Robert Goula.
Don't you laugh, damn you.
Well, I can't help it.
Ow! Ow!
Will you knock it off?
Yeah, but that sounded bad.
I was on stage with Robert Goula when he did the very lovely "Forever I Would Leave You." How could it be in spring? Okay, enough said. All right. Now comes my solo. What else do the simple folk do? Do 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 do. See? That's soprano, bud.
No.
If he doesn't stop,
Ow!
I'm gonna kick your ass.
Get over there, Margaret.
Tell me to get over there.
Well, just because he doesn't like your singing, what are you gonna beat the guy up for that? Sorry, you know.
Yes, as a matter of fact. Everyone loves my singing. Do you?
I love your singing, Margaret, but...
That's not true. He told me one time.
What did you tell him?
Nothing. I said I like your singing. Here's a soprano, bud.
Oh!
That's a soprano.
What?
That's the soprano voice. Ah! Up there. Now,
Well, you like doing bass.
If you do bass, then you're singing, oh, that one, way down.
That's a bass?
That's the bass voice.
We like tenor.
Tenor's in the middle. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's tenor. Okay?
Well, that was the most jived up bullcrap.
That's way better than what you were doing with the what else do the simple, you know.
Well, that is cantaloupe.
Cantaloupe?
I didn't say cantaloupe, you jackball. I said camelot.
If you said it the way people actually say it, the way humans that walk on the earth, where are you going?
I won't be insulted. I'm going to the toilet. Toilet paper, please.
Is she pinching one off again?
Yes, I am.
All right. Every time I try to make a point with her, every time I try to get, you know, just really make a point, she gets up and goes to the toilet.
Mr. Henry, you're going to have to just face the fact, man. Ms. Graves, she's set in her ways. Always will be, always was.
Well, so a soprano is the high-pitched voice. Now, that's what this lady was singing. She is a soprano singer, and she swallowed this shard of glass, and it messed up her soprano voice. I have to make a lot of calls for work, and I have to tell people that I'm not a man, Simpson was quoted by the New York Post as saying. Before, that never happened. Oh, this sounds like horse dung. Simpson, who filed the lawsuit on Friday, says she ate the sandwich containing the rogue piece of glass at a McDonald's outlet near the World Trade Center in May 2010. The Huffington Post contacted Paul Goodman, who owns and operates a number of McDonald's restaurants in Manhattan, for a comment. Goodman said he would look into the incident. Rest assured, I take these matters very seriously. Providing safe food and beverages is a top priority at my restaurant. Upon learning about this claim, I took immediate action to gather the facts and began an investigation into the matter. And this is a pending legal matter. It would be inappropriate to comment further. But it is hardly the first time something odd has turned up in a McDonald's meal or restaurant. Remember the Georgia woman who claims she found a nose ring in her 4-year-old daughter's breakfast burrito, or the woman who said her 2-year-old son ate a used condom he found in the play area of one of its restaurants in Chicago.
Well, wait a minute, man. This kid picked up a condom?
Yeah, that sounds like the kid's at fault there. Did you see this, Margaret?
What? Kid 4-year-old killed him with a used condom. Oh, that's horse dung. I heard that story.
Yeah, that's complete bullcrap.
Well, you have to... You know, I remember when Jason J. Delmonico was a very, very small child. My God, he ate everything. It's something... Oh, he was reaching into garbage cans. He was sticking anything he could find in his mouth. It's something that children do.
Well, I mean, come on.
What?
It's everything?
It's something children... He ate snails. He would eat spiders.
Oh, God! You serious?
Oh, quit being dramatic. He would eat everything. He would pick food off of other people's plates. He would grab strands of hair. And just... I thought there was something missing nutritionally. And then as quickly as it started, it ended. And during this period, I thought it was interesting. We took him to the doctor. During this period, his eyes, his flesh would turn green. And he only slept in the daytime. It was very interesting. Well, the doctor...
Hold on.
What?
What are you saying? He had...
Yes?
He had green flesh. He ate anything that would move. He was...
I didn't say that would move.
He only slept in the daytime.
Yeah, what was he? A zombie or something like that?
I don't... No, he wasn't a zombie, although I think Frank thought so. We took him to the doctor. He had some nutritional deprivation. The point that I'm trying to make is that kids are kids, and they're always going to be kids, and they're going to eat like kids, and you better just evacuate. I mean, get out of town for a few days, because...
Well, that sounds creepy, man. I don't want to know. If my kid ate the way your kid... I would have him taken to a doctor pronto.
Guess we did, hello.
He ate anything. Good God. Well, anyway, but a kid eating a condom, I'm not going to blame the restaurant necessarily. There might have been a used condom on the ground, and that may be as it is. I mean, that's a terrible, horrible thing. But what's the kid doing picking crap up off the... I don't know. It's making me sick now as I talk about it. Good luck to all of you people suing McDonald's this year. How about that? There's a good one. Meanwhile, Bin Laden, yes, is back in the news. Only this time it ain't Bin, because as you all know, he is fish food. Man, he's sleeping with those fishes.
Yeah, that's right, man. He sleeps with the fishes.
Yeah, yeah. Luca Brasi sleep with a fish.
It's not sleeps on a fish.
Sleeps with the fishes. A three-judge panel has denied requests to release the photos and videos taken on the night Osama bin Laden was killed. The District of Columbia Circuit of the U.S. Court of Appeals sided with the Obama administration against a conservative watchdog group, Judicial Watch, that had been attempting to get the photos released. The administration argued and the court agreed. Boy, that's really great, Judicial Watchdog. If it was the Bush administration and there were liberal senators trying to get a hold of these films, what would you be saying? I know what you'd be saying. Nobody needs to even ask the question. You'd be opposed to it. Although, as a conservative group, the Judicial Watch... can I just say something here?
Would you finish the story, Phil?
Yes, ma'am. The administration argued, and the court agreed, that the photos and video footage from that night should remain classified in the interest of the safety of Americans abroad. The administration expressed concern that if the photos became public, it would spark riots and other anti-American violence in certain parts of the world. The ruling, which was unanimously held that the government's reasons for classifying the photos top secret and thus exempt from the Freedom of Information Act, were justified. The raid that killed bin Laden, for whom U.S. authorities had been searching for over 10 years, was conducted by the United States Navy SEALs in May of 2011 in Abbottabad, Pakistan. The SEALs took several photos and video of the raid and its aftermath, including photos of bin Laden's body, partly so that the CIA could use facial recognition technology to confirm bin Laden lived.
Did you see that Zero Dark Thirty?
I did.
And what did you think?
I thought Zero Dark Thirty was excellent through the. I thought it started slow. It started almost like a movie of the week. And I'm not saying that there wasn't a lot of action. I'm saying that I thought that it rolled out pretty surprisingly slow. I mean, it didn't. Catherine Bigelow in The Hurt Locker, I mean, she just was so. That film was so great. And it might have been that there was not enough of the military stuff at the beginning and more of a bureaucratic look at things. But I thought it started slow. But it picked up. I thought it was excellent. We're told by leaked information from the actual SEALs on the raid, however. And I think it was interesting the way she shot the bin Laden raid. It was all in dark, with very few moments of night vision goggles coming into view. So you're hearing, you're not seeing. And from what the SEALs are alleged to have said, is that we were dead quiet. We didn't scream and yell.
Yes, I saw that.
Because in the movie Zero Dark Thirty, these SEALs are making all kinds of noise. They're yelling orders at each other. They're yelling orders over the radio. They're not emotional. I'm not saying that they're emotional, but I'm saying that they're yelling orders, and they're yelling direction, and they're yelling coordinates, and they're, you can hear this. The SEALs themselves, at least it is alleged that SEALs who saw the movie said that it was not like that at all. They were highly critical, as you're going to expect they will be. They said, we were very quiet. We didn't have to yell anything. We spoke calmly into our, and went about our business. Now, it's possible that that's what they thought they were doing.
Why? What are you talking about? Like they thought what they were doing?
It's possible these SEALs in the moment thought they were being very quiet. Maybe they were yelling. I don't know. If you're involved in something, in an adrenaline pump like that, Navy SEAL or no Navy SEAL, SEAL Team 6 or not, your adrenaline's going. And it could very well be that you're not really judging how your voice sounds. By the same token, I'm in no position to doubt what these men said, so I will buy what they said. I think, personally, though, as movies go, and you know I'm a stickler on history. That's why I didn't like Argo. Argo had wholly created scenes. I don't like that. I never will, and that's just all there is to that. They concocted events. They concocted scenes. We don't know if the scenes that took place in Argo actually ever happened. And I don't personally dig that. I suppose if I stepped away from it and I thought, okay, I can see how they're trying to, give us a fanciful view, maybe. But I don't like it. So if they knew that the yelling didn't take place, but they had the SEALs yelling for effect, then it makes me feel like I've been deceived and I've been raped. But it was Catherine Bigelow, so I guess I should feel honored. All right, I'm kidding around.
Oh, my God, you want to be raped by a female?
No, I didn't say that. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, he'd have to have one of those.
Never mind.
The Phil Hendry Show. world famous Phil Henry Show.
I'm not knocking Zero Dark Thirty. Please don't think I am. It's a great movie. It's a really great movie. Compared to Hurt, I prefer Hurt Locker, but there's no doubt in the world, you know, in my mind, that Kathryn Bigelow is the action director in terms of reality, in terms of war movies, if that's what you want to call them. Who's better? I don't know of anyone that's better. The Hurt Locker, I would compare to Lebanon, which I told you is probably the most brutal and brutally realistic war film I've ever seen. It was made in Israel, and it's about the invasion of southern Lebanon by Israeli forces, and it's violent, it's jarring, it's told from the interior of a tank. The entire film is shot from the inside of a tank. An Israeli tank as it moves through southern Lebanon, and it's you know, we say there's really good horror movies if they're disturbing. To me, that makes a good horror movie. If you leave the theater or wherever you were and you're feeling disquieted, you just saw a damn good horror movie. And I think the same goes for a war film. And Lebanon is brutal. Hurt Locker. These are, I think, epic films because they disquiet us, they upset us, they make us, you know, feel a little bit of what it must feel to be in that situation. Zero Dark Thirty, I thought, was terrific. From the history that it told, yeah, there was, you know, a little fudging there with the way the SEALs conducted the operation, but nonetheless, the storyline is correct. Everything that happened leading up to the discovery of Bin Laden, Bigelow renders that accurately. That devastating bombing of the CIA compound in Afghanistan, I can't remember the name of that place either.
Well, what was it?
It was like a CIA base.
What?
Bud, it's a CIA base.
What do you mean? I thought those guys are spies.
Yeah, they are spies. Doesn't mean they can't have a base.
Yeah, they had bases.
How can a spy, if you're not allowed to know where he is?
Well, it's not like that kind of a spy. Anyway, the CIA, you're not allowed to know. What, the U.S. government can't find their own spies?
That would be stupid, bud.
Well, that's a good point.
Oh, thank you. Hey, we just made a great point. Spies don't have to be so secretive that their own employers can't find them. Anyway, there was a huge base in Afghanistan that was operated by the CIA, and the station chief was a woman. What I thought was you could not help but notice the primary movers in this film, the primary characters and players were female. And the station chief, the CIA station chief in Afghanistan, a mother, a wife, wholly dedicated to finding Bin Laden, and thinks she's turned an Al-Qaeda guy. They believe they've got a guy turned, that he's going to give them information. He's coming to the base that afternoon. As kind of a gesture, she baked him a cake. And this guy gets out of the car, and in a split second, they go from thinking this guy is an asset who's about to give us information, and in a split second, they're realizing they're dead. They're dead. They trusted the wrong guy. This dude detonates a suicide vest. It is an enormous blast, kills everybody within the radius. This was a famous event. It was documented. It made the news. It was the rock bottom for the CIA. They hit they were just rock bottom. You know, here they were on their way. They're trying to find this guy that carved up 3,000 Americans. And by the way, Mark Strong, who was in Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, Mark Strong plays the guy that gets shot in Hungary. Remember the tall, good-looking, dark-haired actor? He plays the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency in this film. He's outstanding, just outstanding. I mean, everybody in the movie was very, very good. So, but the CIA hit rock bottom with that, and it also, however, was a pivotal time because it also further compelled a lot of people within the intelligence community to double their efforts to not give up. Now it was like going for broke. Now nobody was going to quit. They were going to die on the job if they had to because of what had happened. So it was a long, brutal, bloody road to getting that guy Bin Laden, I'll tell you.
Well, and the explosion, because I did see it, I reviewed it, The explosion was... I forget.
What is it with you, Margaret?
I don't know. I was listening to your story, and I forgot what I was...
Well...
Oh, I remember now. The... No, I don't.
All right, we'll see you guys. Try and think of it by tonight. World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by me, Phil Henry, and our good friend Dan Northcraft. Don't forget to go to philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass. With a backstage pass, Jack, you're living large. You get all of those fine things we have on our website, like the thousands of hours of audio, our video cast downloads, our video cast, as well as our webisodes, as well as our all kinds of stuff at philhenryshow.com. Be a part of it. Until tonight at 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock on the East Coast, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.